We're here in Washington, D.C. for the annual CPAC conference. Donald Trump is headlining the festivities as the American right has gathered in the D.C. swamp. Quite a good lineup of speakers as well. You've got Nigel Farage, the Argentinian president, Javier Milei, El Salvador president, Nayib Bukele, and former UK Prime Minister Liz Truss. Now, it appears that my cameraman and I seem to be the only Canadian media here, which is not that surprising, I have to say. But we're here to figure out what the American conservative right has to say about our esteemed leader, Justin Trudeau. Now, in Canada, he's no beloved man, but we're here to figure out what our friends down to the south have to say about Justin Trudeau. Now, we're asking people at CPAC what they make of our leader, Justin Trudeau. You have any thoughts about our prime minister?
He's killed your country. He really has. Man, this is tough because I really feel that in the last 10 years, Canada is in a much worse place off than they used to be. If you'll sell us Alberta, we'll take them still. So let Albertans know. We'll take you if you want to come.
I'm a big fan of our former President Trump, and so Trudeau's got a ways to go to meet the kind of enthusiasm respect for his fellow patriots. He's got a ways to go.
Yeah, I completely disapprove of Justin Trudeau. I think he's done a terrible job in Canada. You know, I'm actually ashamed. My name is Justin, too. I think he's bringing shame to the name Justin.
Trudeau, yes. So, as far as I'm aware, Canada has become a very, like, radical left-wing government. I know, like, I'm a fan of Jordan Peterson, and I know he's been dealing with a lot of issues because of, like, the gender stuff, I think the pronouns issues, and trying to arrest him and put him into kind of re-education camp because he's not saying she, them pronouns to certain people. So, to me, it's like, this country, in America, we have free speech. And in Canada, they're trying to get rid of that by enforcing some kind of hate speech ideas on this in that country. So to me, Justin Trudeau is a very bad person.
I'm not a fan. I think he's... I'm not allowed to curse on this, am I?
No. Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah. Well, he's a little bitch.
I think he's the... I'm convinced that he's the bastard son of Fidel Castro. and I think, sadly, he's trying to... What's happening in America with the current election isn't an American experience. I believe we are in the middle of a balls-to-the-wall global communist revolution. And you're suffering in Canada. I mean, what happened? I mean, what was your previous prime minister? Harper. I mean,
yeah.
He was a conservative.
I know.
He was a good man.
Oh, he's probably the worst leader in Canadian history, and I don't know much about Canadian history or politics.
The only thing I know in particular is that thing he did with the truck drivers. And when he took away, they went into their bank accounts and stopped them able to transfer money. Just that one action, anybody that would countenance that, of stealing that from people,
I don't know. He's kind of like our Biden in a way, or Obama here.
Yeah.
And I think they are communists in a way.
I really think he's a puppet of the globalist, and I don't have much respect for him. I consider him in the same category as our fascist, communist, Democrat party right now.
I think the only word I can say about him is just horrible. Just a horrible prime minister. I mean... I have never seen anyone like him who just does not care about the nation.
I don't like him. I don't think much of him at all. I think what he did to the truckers by freezing their accounts or taking their money is not the way things should be done.
Terrible.
Man-child, liberal, communist clown show. You guys should be an embarrassment that he is now your prime minister and he continues to stay there while he enslaves your people. This has got to be one of the worst egregious examples of an absolute facade that's going on with this guy. I mean, Canadians who are proud and free people are now acquiescing to the whims of this absolute tyrannical quasi-communist. What he put out the other day is now he's going to censor hate speech. Well, let me tell you what hate speech is. Anything he doesn't like, that's what hate speech is. He is an embarrassment to your country. He is a complete and utter joke, worse than his father could ever have been.
And the next question we have for people here is, if you had to pick between Joe Biden as your leader or Justin Trudeau as your leader, and you could only pick one or the other, who would it be?
Well, I'd certainly pick Joe Biden because he has less of a shelf life. So from a purely Machiavellian standpoint, I would do that. Not wishing any harm on anybody or a premature demise, but just from an analytical standpoint.
Justin Trudeau, probably.
And why is that?
I don't know, the lesser of the two poisons, maybe?
Yeah.
That's a hard choice. I mean, I feel like Joe Biden's not really running things anyway. Maybe Justin Trudeau, because at least he like has a brain.
Oh my lord, probably Trudeau, because at least he can do complete sentences.
Joe Biden is like bombing entire nation, supplying wars, right? Justin Trudeau is trying to put us in prison for hate speech laws. So I mean, I really cannot answer either one. Both of them have to be like put in prison. Both are horrible people.
So I have to say, it was a bit surprising to hear how much Americans know about Justin Trudeau, about our leader. They have quite a lot to say. A lot of it had to do with the fact that he's a communist, he's a socialist. So not too surprising, but a little bit surprising to know just the detail to which Americans have been paying attention to Canada. Something worth considering. Now, we did get to speak to some VIP guests. We were able to speak with Nigel Farage, of all people. He spoke about the state of the Tory party in his country, and he had a message for conservatives in Canada. Take a listen.
So the Tories in the UK seem headed for a certain electoral defeat as they have drifted away from conservative values. What does the Tory party in your country need to do to get back on the right path?
Lose and rethink who they are. They don't stand for anything. I mean, literally, as a party of the careerists, they're social democrats, not conservatives. They break a whole host of election promises. In particular, the promises that Brexit made to the British people, they've done none of those things. Frankly, it's a strong word, but they've betrayed the right of the British people. And they need to lose, they will lose, then maybe they've got a chance to rethink it.
Conservatives in Canada seem to be on the same sort of path as the Tories in the UK. They're afraid to address the politically correct issues, mainly on immigration. We don't have the surge of illegal immigration, but we have a surge of legal immigration we have put in our country. What would be your message to Canadian conservatives who are afraid to touch on these important issues that are shaping our country, but they obviously need to?
You know, I was told that when I was a lifelong campaigner to leave the European Union, I'm always told it's a minority view. Everyone said Donald Trump in 2016, the best Canadian conservatives is actually in the country, outside the big cities, away from mainstream media. You'd be amazed how conservative.
Last question for you. We're asking people here what they think of our leader, Justin Trudeau. I'm sure we're going to this again. What do you think of Justin Trudeau?
I'd rather not swear.
We also had a chance to speak with Miklos Santo, the CPAC Hungary chairman. We spoke about the fertility rate in Hungary and how the Hungarian government has been successful at turning that around. We also spoke about what the situation is in Canada and how conservatives should approach that issue, the demographics issue. Take a listen. All right, so we're here at CPAC and we're here with the chairman of CPAC Hungary, Miklos Santo. Tell me about what Hungary has been able to do to turn around your birth rate. I know that's been a policy that we've heard about in Canada. In our country, we have a plummeting birth rate, and nobody seems willing to actually address this issue.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. Look, at the core of Hungary's family policy is to create a so-called workfare society instead of welfare society, meaning that the government launched 10, 14 years ago, a program which literally forces or encourages, at least via the taxation system, everyone to join the labor market. Meaning that all of the social benefits were cut, which social benefits were not related to having a job. And all of the social benefits, including tax benefits and many other literally money related to having a family and having children, were attached to your income, to your legal salary. That meant a very high, very intensive rise in employment. And actually, the unemployment rate in Hungary is around 3%. So actually, who can work nowadays in Hungary is on the job market and works. And the important thing which relates this whole policy to the family policy and to the rise in the birth rates is that if you're in the job market and if you establish your family and if you have one children, two, three, four, etc., the more tax benefits, the more money you get from the state. I know it sounds a little bit socialistic, but that's the way how we can do this. I think conservatives shouldn't be dogmatic if it comes to important issues. So if you're in the job market and you do have a legal income, and if you have a family, and if you have the more children, the less tax you pay. For example, mothers, women, after 4 children, and from the next year after 3 children, they do not pay any income tax. So the idea, the ideology behind this whole structure is to get people on the job market and to give them as many tax cuts, tax benefits, and state fund as possible if they do work. And of course, additionally, for women, there are extra special programs if they are not able to join the labor market because they are at home with the children, then they get extras from the state, but only if they do have children and only if they are at home and not on the job market because they spend their time with their family.
We found another Canadian at CPAC, that being Chris Pavlovsky, the CEO of Rumble. Take a listen to what we talked about, specifically about the state of free speech in Canada and what the future looks like for Rumble. Let me know what you think about the state of the Canadian free speech, basically the state of free speech in Canada. We have Bill C-18 and Bill C-11 that have come through that have severely restricted Canadians' access to getting content out there. You, with Rumble, you've been able to fight back against that. What do you think of what's going on in your home country, Canada?
A lot of it's very disappointing with these bills that we're seeing come out. None of it is at the point where we're in trouble yet, but there are things that we're kind of fighting and we're kind of pushing back against. Rumble, I think, is at the forefront of that. We're the tip of the spear when it comes to pushing for freedom of expression, allowing people to have authentic conversations, really hear what people believe and give their own opinions. And what we're seeing with a lot of these bills is restricting that. You're not going to be able to know who the person is in front of you, and you kind of want to know who the person is in front of you. You want to know who you're listening to. You don't want to hear a talking head that's being told what to say. You want to hear authenticity. You want to hear real live conversations, and that's what we provide at Rumble, and that's what we're pushing back against. But till now, right? Obviously, Bill C-11, we don't believe it's going to be what we thought it was going to be, and on the worst side. So that's looking promising, but it is very disappointing with a lot of the things that we have seen, for sure.
And you guys started in Canada, right? But you had to leave the country. And that's we see that a lot with a bunch of companies who are having to leave the country because it's just not, they're not creating an environment that's good for companies to thrive. Take us through that whole process and why you guys had to leave Canada?
Well, we're still in Canada, number one. We did start there. I'm still a Canadian. And we still have a presence in Canada. We're not going to leave. We're not planning to leave the country. I think it's very important that we maintain our roots there, and we really push back against bills that we think that we think are not good. Ones that don't inherit the values that even the Canadian Bill of Rights has, freedom of expression. I think people forget that freedom of expression is actually a human right. If you take a look at the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, Article 19, it's freedom of expression. This is a basic fundamental human right. As a company that was born in Canada, and as a Canadian myself, it's very important for me to continue to fight there and to really push back and, kind of push the pendulum back to normalcy. And I think we're kind of seeing that. Rumble has been like one of the main guards, the tip of the spear in that fight. You had Truth Social emerge, and now you have Elon Musk purchasing X. You're starting to see the pushback happen. You're starting to see a lot of people vocalize in Canada. And I do think the pendulum is swinging back in our favor. And I personally, and as the company, really want to be at the forefront of helping that happen.
Rumble has grown exponentially over the past few years. What's the future for your company? What do you see as going to be the next step you guys take?
So when it comes to Rumble, I look at it as two lanes of business for us. The first lane is the video platform, where creators can express themselves, do live streams, video. And the other side of the business will be Rumble Cloud. So it'll be One will be the infrastructure business, and the other one will be the video platform business. So those are the two things that I see as very important for Rumble in the future, and the two things that I'll be pushing very, very, and I'll be very focused on going forward.
And we also caught up with Tom Homan, the former acting director of Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement under Donald Trump. We've heard a lot about what's going on in the southern border in the United States, but not a lot about what's going on in the northern border and how Canada has played a role in facilitating illegal crossings into the United States. Listen to some of the detail he talks about here about what's going on the U.S. northern border. So what do you make of what's been going on there? There's not a lot of noise that comes up to Canada about the problems that America faces from a northern border, but do you think the U.S. needs to take that more seriously?
Absolutely. You know, their report last year, last fiscal year in FY23, 227 people off the terrorist watch list crossed the southern border that were arrested. At the same time, 432 across the northern border. Remember the...
You're a good man. You're a good man and a patriot. And I love
you. Remember after 9/11, GAO did a study, and they said that a terrorist crossing the northern border is 10 times more likely than one crossing the southern border. And the number of people off the terrorist watch list crossed the northern border last year almost double the southern, but we never talk about it. Crossings in the northern border up 400 to 600%, depending on what sector you look at. I grew up near Alex Bay, you know, Gananoque, Kingston area, and their numbers are sky high. So, and the problem is with the Canadian border, we got very few Border Patrol agents up there, and half of them have been assigned to the southern border, which means there's very little patrol on the northern border also. It's a big national security vulnerability.
Absolutely. Well, I think for a lot of people who are not in the United States, they look at what's been going on at the southern border and they're just wondering why it seems that nothing is actually taking place, why no enforcement under the current administration is taking place. What do you make of the fact that under Joe Biden, things have skyrocketed across the southern border, and from a lot of people's perspective, nothing is actually being done?
Nothing is being done. This isn't incompetence. It isn't mismanagement. This is by design. This is open borders. This is what they ran on, and they're keeping a promise because they see some future political benefit out of an open border. They think these millions of people will be future Democratic voters, but people need to be reminded they don't even have to vote because President Biden also overturned the Trump census rule, which means millions of these illegal aliens are going to be counted in the next census in sanctuary cities. So when they reproportionate seats in the House, it automatically means more seats in the House for the Dems. That means perpetual power, perpetual control. They sold this country out for power.
Last question for you, Mr. Homan. We're asking attendees at CPAC what they think of our leader, Justin Trudeau. You have any thoughts about Justin Trudeau?
You need to find a better man.
Well, that wraps up our coverage for CPAC Day 1. We'll be here for the rest of the conference throughout the week. Stay tuned for more on True North.